welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips of the PC. All of a sudden, I got all choked up. It is Saturday, the 28th of June, Anno Domini 2003, and you are listening to the world's greatest, longest-running, and just dang most fun computer show, Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be taking your phone calls, taking a look at the website, giving you the possible and probably more than dubious benefit of our knowledge. I can use the word knowledge.
Well, we better consult
loosely.
The lawyers.
Yeah, loosely.
Let's talk.
Pending word from our lawyer, we'll use the word knowledge computer industry, right?
Dewey Cheatham and Howe.
They'll be getting back to us later. But first, we're going to do the news, and we'll start with Dave. No, we're going to start with Dave.
Oh, you want to start with me?
I want to start with Dave.
Off guard. Okay, any of you folks that are running Windows NT Workstation? Well, you've got maybe 2 days left. Sorry for the short notice, but you should have been aware of it anyways. But literally, they're ceasing any of the support for this seven-year-old operating system. They were going to end the server version of it, but, well, due to the problems that they had getting 2003 out there and getting the supports and patches and all that, they said, well, instead of ending that this year, they're going to extend it to the end of 2004 to actually, do it further patches and all that for the server version, because there is so many setups that are still running Windows NT 4.0 server.
Everyone skipped Windows 2000 server.
Yeah, and a lot of them just didn't even bother with it. I mean, the server was working; they didn't have to worry about it. They, put in the various server packs. I think it got up to Service Pack 8, I think it was, and everything was running fine. So as long as it's working fine, why mess with it? I mean, it's a server.
Right.
It does so many things, and that's all it needs.
It sits
to
in
do.
A closet, and you never touch it.
Exactly.
But now you're going to have to upgrade.
But yeah, now you're going to be forced to. Once you, after next year, if you're thinking about the server NT 4.0, but the workstation application is literally going away as of the end of
Monday.
This month. Monday
would be the date.
And you're definitely
going to want... that's when it goes into extended support phase, I believe they call it.
Yeah, but you're still going to have to go on the web looking for any problem solving and everything else, or pay through
right.
the nose
right.
big time. To get any help or anything else, because Microsoft is
right.
Just
you certainly
dropping.
Won't be able to buy it again.
No.
And more importantly, you're going to find that the only updates available for it will be critical security updates, and
yes.
they mean critical.
Yeah.
Not any security update, but just ones that they
with
deem
the
critical.
High recommendation that you consider if you're running the server version to go to server 2003. Or if it's on a workstation, replacing Windows NT Workstation with Windows XP Professional, if it's in a business environment, which most likely is.
Which usually means replacing the whole computer.
Right.
Running
right.
a seven-year-old OS.
Right. Speaking of running a seven-year-old OS, those of you running Windows 98 or 98 SE have a mere 6 months left to go before you run out of support and service.
I just stumbled upon a new client. One machine is running Windows 95,
yeah.
B version. The other one, Windows 3.1.
Wow.
She starts it up, and all she does is go into WordPerfect 5.2.
God bless
5.2. Doesn't want to be bothered with a mouse. She can't see any use for a mouse.
Yep.
And she just
doesn't even need Windows. She just needs DOS.
Yeah, exactly.
You put FreeDOS on her machine, and she'd be a happy little camper.
But see some of the other applications.
Oh, other applications.
That they're going to have to run. To
those great Windows 95 applications that you can't live without.
And
there is a
go to Windows 3 web browser.
Yeah, baby.
Ooh.
Those of you who are interested in knowing the life cycle of your machine, Steve will put this up on the web in a minute or two, if it's not there already.
It's already.
The Windows desktop product life cycle. And it's at www.microsoft.com/windows/lifecycle.mspx.
MSPX, that's a new language, isn't it?
Yeah, Microsoft... perfect extension.
Something extensibility or
yeah, I'm sure. I don't know. Is it like, that's, I don't know. I'll get there in a minute. And now for the next 40 minutes, we'll listen to Steve expound on the glories of the new G5.
Well, we have to start.
How close was that? Is that what we're going to talk about?
Pretty close. It was a big week for Apple. The Worldwide Developer Conference kicked off Monday in San Francisco. Basically, it's the annual meeting for all of Apple developers to go see what Apple's doing in the next version of everything so that they'll have programs ready by the time it actually comes out to the public. A couple of the things that were kind of interesting that he announced, there were nearly 4,000 developers at this conference, paying an average of $1,500 a piece for the privilege to be there, so that's quite a chunk of change. But Apple did announce that they have over 300,000 registered developers, and that's a number that's tripled since the release of OS X. We're seeing a lot of Unix developers, a lot of SGI, high-end workstation developers moving into OS X as well. Jobs also said that the iTunes Music Store, we've talked about that in the past, they've now sold over 5 million songs at an average of 99 cents a piece, so that's gone over very well. And Apple shipped their 1 millionth iPod, becoming the number one individual model seller, which was really neat. The other thing they announced for actual release was that the Safari, their own internal web browser, has been released to version 1.0. There was been a public beta going on for a while. And that it actually sparked a debate over the last couple of weeks. About a week and a half ago, Microsoft announced that they have ceased development of Internet Explorer for the Mac. In addition, they're ceasing development of IE as a standalone program for Windows. They're rolling the functionality into Windows itself in the next version of Windows, and now you cannot remove it. So that sparked a lot of debate, and so Apple having their own web browser sort of basically kills off the need, at least, for IE, but the program will still exist and be there for a while. And then the other major announcements we'll get to after the break. OS 10.3, codenamed Panther, showed off some of the neat new features. And as Nick mentioned, the new G5, based on what Paul Harvey mentioned earlier, which was a little weird, the new IBM 970 PowerPC processor.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of moments with Dave Enright. Steve, you can't stop me. Ray, Rob Linton, and Nina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHM.
Hi, folks. Wham Sports Director Brad Davies here, telling you about the Volunteers of America first annual golf tournaments coming up Monday, July 14th at the Chinle Country Club. Costs $90 per golfer. That includes 18 holes of golf, cards, lunch, spirits on the course, steak dinner, and a ton of prizes as well. Call VOA today, 647-1150 to register. Proceeds benefit Volunteers of America's Human Services Programs. It's brought to you by News Radio 1180 WHAM.
If you were to say, Orkin, man, you don't have to go to school to kill bugs, I'd say, nobody's born an expert, my friend. I actually took entomology classes to learn that thief ants will nest right under your kitchen counters. It's not exactly good dinner conversation, but what you thought was dinner for four could really be dinner for 4,000. I still take courses to keep up with the latest facts, like how the Argentine ant has no natural enemy, except, of course, for me. Well, this is the Orkin Man saying, if it bugs you, bug me at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
It's just about the 4th of July, and lots of folks we know are thinking cookout. So while the charcoal's heating up, why not mix up a pitcher of Country Time lemonade? Then set that pitcher down in easy sipping distance from the grill. After all, tending those flames is a mighty hot and thirsty job, and there's nothing like a little Country Time to keep the cook cool and collected.
Life is full of decisions. For example, taking batting practice in front of a picture window.
Come on, show me the heat!
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned and backed by GM is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car.
Now qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by June 30th, 2003. See dealer for details or call 1-888-999-7880.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to go back to the news here for a few minutes. I'm going to talk a little bit about the latest from Microsoft. Microsoft recently launched a very high-profile campaign against spammers. The software maker and some of its competitors.
AOL is jumping on it big time, too.
AOL and a bunch of others that provide internet service and web-based email are outdoing each other with highly publicized anti-spam campaigns. Lawsuits, technology, policy innovations. For example, Microsoft chairman, altogether now, Bill Gates, sent a letter Tuesday to customers in which he explained some steps his company is taking to reduce spam. This comes a day after the Wall Street Journal published an article on Monday. That would be the day after, thank you. Published an anti-spam column that Gates had written. Of course, Microsoft can't just do anything without somebody blasting them, and some companies of organizations working to curb spam are accusing Microsoft of grandstanding. They say that the company has demonstrated a preference for splashy press events over difficult technology fixes or product sacrifices. These critics have seized on the company's own statements that it is focusing on reducing the amount of spam its users receive rather than focusing on the spam its users and servers send. It's a double-edged sword. We've seen, Microsoft do some terrific things, some serious high-end stuff, and we've also seen them announce things that just quietly died off in the distance. Microsoft is, of course, rejecting these contentions, and they're talking about recent projects and the long-term nature of any effective solution. Microsoft representative said, spam is a central issue for our customers. We are taking a multifaceted approach to address the problem. We did not get here overnight. It will take time to see the impact of the efforts we are making across technology, legislation, enforcement, and self-regulation. And you know what? That's fair.
Wait a minute. They're not the only ones. Right now, AOL, if you see the ads on TV, they're touting how they've got now in their new 8.0 version tougher email and spam controls.
Yeah, but you know what? 90% of the spam I get comes from Hotmail, AOL, or Yahoo. 90% of it. And the rest of it comes from overseas.
And they can't say that Microsoft's the first one on the road. I mean, we reported, I think it was like a month ago.
But see, it's not, from my point of view, it's not about blocking spam as much as it is about stopping people from sending spam. Now, for example, Microsoft recently posed a 100-message cap on users of the Hotmail email service, 100 a day.
Mm-hmm.
However, that only applies to the free accounts. The paid accounts can send out as many as they like.
Maybe a 200 limit on the paid accounts.
right. Well, no, there's no restriction on the paid accounts. But you're right, they should put one. And it really has to come from the sender end. Because, like I said, most of my spam seems to come from Microsoft.
It's so easy to get a free account, send a million messages, and disappear.
And disappear, exactly right. Bang, boom, gone,
accounts.
You're gone.
Time.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you may know, before we get to the phones, I have to tell you that we do have a trivia question of the day, as we do every week. Rob, what's our fabulous prize this week? Ah, it seems to be two free tickets to any movie, that would be any movie at the Regal Cinema Theaters. I can't begin
but
to tell
gotta
you.
But they got to come up here and pick them up.
You got to come to Wham's Studios, Wham's front door there, actually, and pick them up between 9 and 5 on, you know, weekdays, Monday through Friday. And we'll get you those two free tickets. And all you have to do to have Hollywood laid out at your feet, at your beck and call, is to answer this simple question. What was the name of the company and the computer that had the form factor of the Sinclair Spectrum but ran Forth as its native language? As you know, I'm a big fan of the language Forth. And I actually have two of these computers myself, personally.
Cool.
So give us that call, and you will join us. Your name will be emblazoned forever in the archives. Well, forever for a while in the archives. And we'll see where that goes. We're going to go to the phones now, and about dang time too. We're talking to Dan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I've got a question about USB.
Yeah.
Now, my digital camera uses a secure digital card.
Yep.
And I've been having trouble transferring movie files because my digital takes, like, little video clips.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up being pretty sizable, like 20 or so meg.
Yep.
But it'll start transferring it, and then it'll stop and just hang up. You know, hang everything up,
mm-hmm.
and then the only way for me to restart my computer, for me to get my computer back, is to do a improper, you know, just
what OS
cut it off.
What OS are you running?
What OS? 98 Second Edition.
Okay, and you're running this over USB 1 or 2?
I believe it's 2. And but the strange thing is,
did you put in quick question here, a little more background. Did you put in a new card to support USB 2? Because on a 98 machine, most likely it's USB 1.
And even that had trouble.
Well, my machine came with 2.
How old of a machine is it?
I just bought it at the beginning, beginning of February this year.
And it came with 98?
And it came with 98? What is
well,
it?
Well, no. It had XP on it, but then I had them put 98 Second Edition because I have...
Okay.
Because my version of Office...
That's probably the problem. 98 doesn't support USB 2.
Right. And,
even had trouble with USB 1.
Yeah, what you got to do is you got to go up to... matter of fact, I think we might have the link on our website. But what you got to do is go and get the patch. There was an updated patch for the USB on Windows 98 Second Edition. Even though it was in there, they still had to patch the patch to fix it.
That was still only for USB 1, though.
What he's going to have to do next is go back, since that USB is on the motherboard, what you're going to have to do is look up the manufacturer of your motherboard. Go to that particular website and see if they have any updates for the USB 2 support on that particular motherboard for Windows 98.
Okay, because the strange thing is that one of my printers that I have, it's a photo printer, and it has that little slot in it where I can I can put the memory card in there, and I can transfer them just fine.
Sure, because
no
the driver is USB 2.
Inside the printer itself.
In the printer.
Oh, okay, I see.
So it's strictly a driver issue.
Yep.
I should also tell you that in the long run, XP would suit your purposes probably a whole lot better than 98SE.
Yes.
And if you have programs that have trouble under that require 98SE, you can have Windows XP
emulate it
and fake out the program to thinking it's running on 98SE. So in the long run, you'd be better off with XP than with SE.
And the file format, I mean, going to NTFS versus FAT32, it's more efficient, faster.
But at any rate, to solve your immediate problem, you need a USB 2.0 driver for your motherboard for 98SE, and you can only get that from the manufacturer.
If they ever bothered to make one.
If they ever made
one. Yeah.
So if I was to get XP, though, now would I have to like reformat my whole machine and start over from scratch?
Yes and no. If we have to take a break, but the simple answer is if you want to go to NTFS, yes. If you want to stick with...
Within If you want to hang on, or stay,
we'll answer this question after the break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hey, sweetie. Yeah, I'm leaving right now. Sure. Yeah, I'll pick up a bottle of that. I love you, too.
Make sure your first stop on the drive home is WHAM.
The United States has decided...
Catch up on the day's news.
Showers and storms.
Tonight and tomorrow's weather.
And that accident is...
And traffic to get you home safely. Start the car. Turn on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
You're out there, and you know who you are. Oh, you think you can hide. But you can't hide forever. One of these days, you'll break down, and then you'll see. It's not so bad. Then, like the rest of us, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. If you don't own a home computer, I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you about the fantastic home computer package from Green Shield Computers. For only $499, they'll build you the perfect starter system, fully loaded with all you need for email, web surfing, home finances, digital pictures, music, movies, and more. It's powered by an AMD Athlon processor, and is easily upgradable. Plus, you get Green Shield's local service and support. With Green Shield, there's no excuse. Don't miss out on the fun, the convenience, the connections a home computer can provide. Give Green Shield a call and get started with your home computer. For you, for your kids, for your life. Green Shield Computers, since 1984. Call 544-9580.
You want reliable wireless minutes, you need the most reliable national wireless network. That's the Verizon Wireless Network. Apparently, some people haven't heard the news. Check out Mr. Time is Money here. He's tried to make a call from every corner of this intersection, but he can't find a signal anywhere. Poor guy. Power suit, power tie, power everywhere but where he needs it. With the Verizon Wireless Network, he could have already made the call and closed the deal. Because Verizon Wireless has the best wireless network in America. So, compared to other national wireless carriers, your service is more likely to work where and when you need it. Hey, I've seen Verizon Wireless work in some surprising places, including street corners. Now's the time for reliable wireless.
Get on the best wireless network in America today. Stop by any Verizon Wireless communication store or call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN. Verizon Wireless, we never stop working for you. Network claims based on Verizon Wireless reliability studies and network advantages. See VerizonWireless.com for details.
Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, and Dave was in the middle of a reply to Dan.
One thing you can do is, you can go back, and depending on what version of the operating system that you had originally on there, whether it was a full install or an upgrade,
or an OEM install that wants to see an empty hard drive.
Right. You can go ahead and do it, and then we'll post it up on the website, or as a matter of fact, I might even use it for this week's tip, is how to, on the fly, literally convert. If you've got XP on there and it says, you know, the partitions are all FAT32, there's a very simple DOS command. It's called convert. And like I say, we'll post it up there that will allow you to convert it to... the NTFS on the fly.
Also, the Windows XP installer will convert the hard drive for you during the installation, but I'm not sure if it maintains the data, so that's something to check. The big issue with NTFS, it is more efficient in XP, but if you have older programs, especially DOS utility programs, they may not work with NTFS. So some people are leaving their XP machines in FAT32 for that backward compatibility.
Yep, and definitely before you do any conversion, back up all your data. Don't forget our trivia question of the week. What was the name of the company? I'm not making easy trivia. I'm not making trivia you can just look up on Google two searches and you're there. What was the name of the company and the computer that had the form factor of the Sinclair Spectrum but ran fourth as its native language? We're back to the phones with Alex From Henrietta. Welcome, Alex. What's your question?
Nick, I remember you from PC3 about 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Long time ago. Hey, I got a Norton antivirus message that comes up every time I go into email. And I have to click through about 20 different screens in order to get rid of it. It says it's error. And it's reporting an error, but it's been on there for the last few days.
And what is this error?
Specifically, it's about the antivirus detection system.
Yeah?
I can't give you the exact words or which virus.
Alex, you've looked at this message for 3 weeks and you never wrote it down?
It comes up, but I don't look at it anymore. I'm sorry.
Alex, when you call...
I've got to have that
call,
it always
that
helps.
Error message written down.
It always helps to have the exact error
message. Without knowing what the error message is, it's a little hard to help you. It could be what it's saying is that there's a corruption in a file somewhere, and that would be caused by the virus. It could be saying that your antivirus has been stopped because you've got one of those viruses that kills your antivirus software.
Could be saying your subscriptions have expired and you need to renew.
Right. It could be saying that it can't delete this particular email. Please do it by hand.
We don't even know the error code.
Right. We don't know. And so without knowing what that error message actually is, Alex, there's very little we can do to help you solve it.
Okay, the first recommendation would be...
7 or 8-digit number connected with the error message, but I, as you noticed, haven't written it down.
Yeah.
Have you tried running Stinger?
No, I haven't.
You might want to download Stinger, because if it is, there's one that just came out, in fact, just the 25th. It's called So Big, and it immediately, when it came out, it went right to medium risk. And it's an email, again, thinking it's from a friend, saying, oh, check these stats out or this. And the minute you run it, it will literally try to email itself back out to other places. And that's what it could be doing in the background,
right,
stopping your Norton, because that's what it does. Also, I've run into this week Backdoor.
Mm-hmm.
Backdoor, there's many iterations, and it literally tries to turn your machine into a server where it's getting out to the Internet, and it slows down your whole machine and shuts, totally disables Norton, AVG, or McAfee. So what I would recommend is going to our website, downloading Stinger, because they just updated that, and it checks for more of the newer viruses that, you know, will disable Norton or any of those others.
Okay, give it a try.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And for everybody, write down the error message. You notice I wasn't as polite about that this time as I have been in the past. I'm sorry, Alex. I should have been more polite about that, but we need people to write down the error message. We are not the amazing Karnak.
Not necessarily all the numbers involved, but when it says an error in module kernel.dll, you know, that would help.
That part would help, or error cannot delete file, or error cannot...
Say, VDH...
Right, any one of those. Exactly right. Our next caller is Mike. From all the way out in Gates, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. I've been getting an error message also.
Yeah?
But you wrote it down,
didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Excellent.
I'm getting a runtime error 9 message, and it says subscript out of range.
In what program?
When I'm using the Internet, I get that message, and at the top of the box it says WHAIMAGER.
Do that again.
WHAIMAGER. It's at the top of the error box.
WAOL Messenger. You use AOL?
No, Roadrunner.
Right. You don't have an instant messaging program running, do you?
No, they're off when I use this. Like when I get the error message, it like pops up when I'm using like the Internet and stuff.
Right. Right, so it actually happens when you're on the Internet itself.
Right.
Okay, what this is, oh dear.
I've been trying to find things on the Internet to try and find out what the problem is.
Yeah, what browser are you running?
Internet Explorer.
What version? 6? Have you upgraded to 6.2?
What it sounds like is happening is there's some script running, probably a JavaScript, on a site you're going to that isn't written well enough for the Microsoft virtual machine and maybe written more for Sun Java.
if you go into your Internet Explorer, you go up to Help and About. It'll tell you what version of Internet Explorer you're running.
All right, 6.0.
Did you run AdAware or any
yes,
of those?
Yes.
Yeah. What this is a piece of a problem of a program that
was tied to the AdAware.
And here's what you need to do. You have two files. What it did was it removed the AdAware program, removed the spyware, but didn't kill the two files.
Right.
What you want to do is look in your Windows directory.
Right.
You'll find two files.
Okay. I'm writing this down.
Good. One is called newones.dll. That's newones.dll.
newone.
No. newones.dll. New ones.
Oh, new ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the second one is called is what with three T's dot DLL. That's WHATTT dot DLL.
Right.
Those two files, it's best not to remove them.
Rename them.
You should rename them. Like instead of new ones dot DLL, called new ones dot old or new ones dot bad or something. And what dot old or what dot bad. The theory, and then reboot.
Right.
And see if the error message goes away. If you have a problem, then you can rename these back again. But they're all part of spyware program called WHA Imager.
Right.
It didn't get rid of it all. Properly.
Yeah, I forget. There's like 100 programs that can give it to you.
Do I need to change both of those or just one of them?
Both of them.
Oh, both of them.
Yeah.
Let us know
how that works.
You may also want to go back into AdAware and see if there's been a reference file update that could finish fixing the rest of the problem.
I just ran AdAware.
Did you update it first?
No.
AdAware needs to be updated just like antivirus software needs to be updated.
When you start AdAware up, there's a little button that you can, or a phrase that you can click on, check for updates. It opens up another window. It says connect. You click on the connect. It will tell you whether you're updated or whether it needs to update.
Check for updates now.
Yep.
I think I just did that a few minutes ago.
Well, it's never a bad idea to do it before you run it each time.
But I still have to change those two files anyway.
Yep. Update AdAware, run it, and see if it gets rid of them for you.
Okay.
And then if it doesn't, then change those two file names, reboot, and see what happens.
New ones, DLL, and what DLL.
Right, what with three T's.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Let us know how that works. And let's not forget today's trivia question. What was the name of the company and the computer that had the form factor of the Sinclair Spectrum but ran fourth as its native language? Bob from Caledonia, want to take a shot at the trivia?
No, I have no clue.
Okay.
Like the show as usual.
Thank you very much.
I'm having a little trouble here trying to get my screen the way I want it. My desktop. I go to control panel to display and bring up the display properties. I go to settings and I try to change the screen area and colors and I can't do it.
What do you mean, like from 640 to 800 by 600?
That's correct. That's what I want, yes.
What OS are you running?
Well, wait a minute. What's it at now?
It's at, it's at 640 by 480.
And what do you want it to be?
I want it at 800 to 600.
What OS are you running?
The operating system is 98 SE.
All right. What you're probably going to have to do... In other words, the settings aren't holding for what you wanted to do, correct?
Do they let you change and ignore you, or does it not let you change it?
It does not let me change.
Yeah, there's one of two problems. Either the monitor driver's wrong, and it doesn't know you can go to another one.
Or the video
driver is wrong, and it doesn't know you can go to another.
Yeah, you need to update probably the video drivers.
And then
start with that.
In the display properties, there's another tab to let you tell it what kind of monitor it is. You want to have plug-and-play monitor turned on so the machine knows what monitor it is and what resolutions it's capable of.
Well, see, if it's set to generic monitor, it's going to assume one of the very old-style monitors and not let you change the resolution.
Well, the monitor shows on it as Super VGA 1024 by 768.
Okay, good.
So that's
then it's probably the video drivers.
Yep.
So you have to find what video card is in the machine and download the driver.
You can check that under, if you don't actually know, you can go under System in the Device Manager and click on the little plus sign next to the display, and it'll tell you what video card it thinks it's in there. If it says just standard VGA, right there is part of your problem, because if you've got an ATI card in there, it's not going to display the colors and the resolution that you want.
Yeah, basically.
Was it ever on 800 by 600?
Pardon me?
Was it ever on 800 by 600?
Yes.
Okay. And did you by any chance, put in like a game or something?
No. I'll tell you what I had to do. I was having this trouble with a hard drive. I changed the hard drive. And I'm still having the same problem.
Okay. It may well be that you do need to update the video driver. I would start with that, because what it sounds like is at some point the real video driver got overwritten with a different one.
I see.
So if you can update the video driver, I think you're going to be way ahead of the game. Okie doke.
Can I do that with what's in the system?
You may need to go online to the vendor of the video card and get an updated driver from them. And I'm afraid we have to take another quick break now with this gentle music in the background. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
There's a one-of-a-kind store at Jefferson Road and J. Scuddy Boulevard in Henrietta. It's Gander Mountain. And if you're a fisherman, hunter, or camper, you'll see our grand opening event this weekend as an opportunity. It's your chance to stand and take in more hunting, fishing, and camping gear than you've ever seen and think, wonder how much my truck can hold. It's meeting guys that include Matt Moret from Hunter Specialties, Bill Jordan from Real Tree Outdoors, and Chris Kirby from Quaker Boy. It's getting a chance to win gear and a $1,000 shopping spree drawing. There's no purchase necessary, and you should see store for details. You can test your skill in the archery lanes or do a roll in the kayak testing pond. Attend seminars on everything from deer hunting to hunting calls. Sure, Gander has excellent gear and unmatched brands at guaranteed low prices. More important, you now have a connection with folks who love this stuff as much as you do. The grand opening event is this weekend at 300 J. Scuddy Boulevard in Henrietta, Gander Mountain. We live outdoors.
Soundbites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
This portion of Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
We know about it before it's big news. We tell you about it before it happens. You're given a heads up and able to form an opinion before you have to. You are always the first on your block to know anything and everything. If we don't talk about it on this program, trust me, you don't need to know about it.
Rush 2 till 5. Rush on Wham. The best in local radio and television. News Radio 1180, WHAM, and News Source 13 have again been honored with the Edward R. Murrow Award for Best Local Newscast. Local news on radio and TV from the people you come to know and trust. Clear, concise reporting from experienced journalists working together to bring you the news wherever you are. In-depth team coverage from your Clear Channel stations in Rochester. WOKR-TV, News Source 13, and News Radio 1180, WHAM. Now, more than ever, you need the news leader. 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM Rochester. A Clear Channel radio station.
CBS News.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Oh, drat these computers. They're so naughty and so complex.
I could pinch them.
Thank you. And we are back now with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
And we would like that very much.
We would like
I'm not even going to try.
Ooh, you make me so angry.
Look what I've started.
It's supposed to be an amazing kaboom. Where's the amazing kaboom?
I'm going to get my Iridium Q36 explosive space modulator. And, Jack, I am so angry.
And I'm sitting between the two of these.
All right, and this is why we don't do impersonations for a living, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, exactly. We're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. And now, of course, I can't use the Iridium Q36 explosive space modulator as a trivia question, but we do have a trivia question, which is what was the name of the company and the computer that had the form factor of the Sinclair Spectrum but ran forth as its native language?
One of the other things we should remind folks is, well, 4th of July coming up this coming week, short week, but the following Wednesday, July 8th, Nick, Steve, and I are going to be speaking at the Rochester Computer Club. And it's going to be such a long haul for me to go.
I know. Is that a Wednesday or Thursday?
Well, it's on
Tuesday.
It's on our calendar.
Okay.
But we're going to be guest speakers there, taking computer questions and hopefully answering a few. And if you want to have a good time, come on over. It's going to be at the Brighton Town Hall, right near the 12 Corners, if you folks are unfamiliar. With that, it's literally a half mile down the road from the 12 Corners heading west. And come on down and check it out. We should be a good time.
We're all going to Dave's house afterwards.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I don't know.
Across
all
the street.
Of, all of us. I don't know about all of us.
All of them can come over, too. Yeah. Right. Lori, bring
Dave
it up.
Dave doesn't care. She's got a big backyard.
Yeah, my wife doesn't care. The only thing she'd worry about is, we got enough soda?
That's right. And you know what? Stores are open.
Yeah.
July 8th. That's July 8th, 6:30 p.m. at the Rochester Computer Society. And for those of you who forget that, we have a calendar online. And you can go there and get the information that you need. Speaking of what we do online, every week, as you know, at soundbites.org, we have a poll. Last week's poll from our friend P.D. Lethbridge, who is, by the way, a complete train fanatic. If you've been in the poll, you've seen that he's the guy with the huge signature. His question was, most viruses seem to come from, and the winner was email. With 75% of the votes, followed by web surfing with 9% of the votes. Other, please leave a comment with 8%, followed by pornography, 6%. I should have written pornography, or so I'm told. Pirated music, 1%, and others on my local network, 1%. That's 279 votes, making it number 41 in the all-time hit parade. I want to thank each and every one of you for having entered that poll. I really appreciate it. Our current poll is a different one entirely. It's about sound cards. I use my sound card mostly for. The choices are playing CDs on my PC, audio clips on the web, video clips on the web, games, listening to the lovely sounds of the operating system. And now bringing you the lovely sounds of the operating system. I don't need no stinking sound card. And other, please leave a comment. Currently, we have approximately 60 votes. And audio clips on the web is leading other by one vote. So get to the website, vote early and often. Once you do, please feel free to head over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And among the many things you can do on my website, including join up, is the opinion poll. And you can leave an actual opinion on the page. I'm going to have to go in and delete some of these as I try to keep them at least a little bit clean. Profanity bores me, and I suspect that it bores most of you because you're all intelligent people. So we would prefer to keep that off. And so I'll be fixing that. But join us in the forums as well. We have forums that go on every minute of the day. You can join us. We have a tad over 18,000 messages so far, 1,380 registered users. Our newest is Don Keefe. Welcome, Don.
and you can join in the discussion. Some of the most amazing things go on there. Movie posters, logos, the changing logo, all kinds of stuff. Moody Blues 100 is bringing us secretly recorded calls. It's just a wonderful experience. And if you're not playing around with us in the forums and online, then you're missing half the fun of Sound Bites. But the other half the fun of Sound Bites is, of course, the calls. So we're going to go back to the phones and speak to Bruce from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bruce. What's your question?
Hi there. I got an answer.
An answer?
All yes. Right.
For the trivia?
Yep.
Excellent.
Okay. How about the Jupiter 8?
You win, Bruce. Nicely done. Stay on the line now. We'll talk for a while, but when you're done, stay on the line so we can get your name and information.
Congratulations.
Do you have one?
That was my question. Do you have one?
I don't have one. You do.
I have two.
I'll come see them someday.
Okay.
That was the ancient history back in 1982.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Very good,
and
Bruce.
Actually, while I was waiting online here, I did dig it up on the web, and I actually found an ad for one.
Excellent.
It has a whole 8K bytes of ROM and 3K bytes of RAM.
Yep.
Ran at 3.25 megahertz on a Z80.
Yep.
Had a whopping 40-key keyboard.
Yes, and then they were chiclet keys.
Yep, and they looks like they use a TV, your TV set for a monitor.
Yep, yep, and it used tape.
Right.
You plugged the regular tape recorder in. Yep. What made me think of this is I was doing some cleaning the other day, and I found a cigar box, big cigar box. I opened it up, and there were all these tapes in there. I looked at them, and I went, oh, my heavens, it's the Sinclair, it's the Jupiter Ace. And and now I'm going to have to actually dig out the aces and see if any of these things run. You could write some amazing programs. 3K of RAM is a lot of RAM for Forth.
Yeah, really.
It really is. And so it was pretty neat. And it was the native language. They simply replaced the basic chip in the machine with a Forth chip.
Wouldn't you need 4K for
Stop
Forth?
It. And stop it.
If you want a bad joke, here I am.
Here he is.
Oh, bada
Bruce,
bang.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're
nicely
welcome.
Done.
Right.
This may be the earliest that the trivia question has been answered on this show.
Yeah, last week nobody could answer it.
See, the week before nobody could answer. No, the week before we got somebody, the week before that when nobody could answer it. Apparently this one was a lot easier than I thought. I'm embarrassed now. We'll have to come up with a worse one. But thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Hang on.
Okay. Yes? What?
Do Rob need to get info from him? Or?
Yeah, he's going to. He didn't hang up. He's there. We're going to go to...
everyone's looking confused about what's going to do
now
next.
Because it was. It looks like this person was called earlier and had to hang up. So instead of having him wait a long time again, we'll just... And how do you pronounce that name?
Miguel from Gananda.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I got a question for you. Back in March of this year, I loaded McAfee version 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just recently, there's a window coming up when I turn the computer on to renew my virus subscription.
Okay.
I went to the help and about, and I went through the list, and the license started. It tells me that it's September 13, 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that there might be. I'm also having problems with the battery on the motherboard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That every 2 months I have to replace it.
How old is this machine?
Oh, it's an old one. It's 233 megahertz.
Mm.
Do you turn it off at night or leave it running?
No, I turn it off.
Is it connected to a power strip you turn off or straight into the wall?
To a power strip.
And do you turn off that power strip?
Yes.
That's the problem. Every time you turn it off, it uses the battery to maintain the settings. If you leave it plugged into the wall or the power strip turned on, so there's a AC coming in,
PC off.
There's a trickle charge that maintains settings on the motherboard and doesn't need to use the battery.
Okay.
That's actually a pretty dang good tip.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the license, what would I have to do?
I would suggest that you send an email to McAfee explaining this whole situation.
Your clock was wrong when it's
right
when I first installed it.
Right,
yes.
And ask them what they can do. They're actually pretty good about that.
Yeah,
you know, if you tell them that it thinks you got this thing in 1990,
exactly.
I suspect they're going to give you a break.
Well, because, oh, by the way, version 7 wasn't out then. Right.
Exactly. It was just within the past year that it just...
Have you tried?
But unfortunately, this has to be solved by them. So
by
they're
them.
Probably going to actually give you a different serial number.
And if you don't hear back
whatever.
From them right away, if you try uninstalling it, reinstalling it, and it's going to want to register it...
Yes.
You can always just put in the information and re-register it, and if it says, oh, you already are, you can always just add your initial to it or that.
Okay.
I've also seen both with Symantec and McAfee's registration dates that it stores that as a hidden file somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So uninstalling and reinstalling, it still remembers the old
date.
Yeah,
the old date, that's what...
But
that's
if why he re-registers it and puts in, say, like his name,
that
Miguel, space,
yeah,
and his initial, it thinks it's another user.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, give one of those things a try, but at some point be prepared to call McAfee.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okie doke.
Bye.
Thanks, Miguel. Our next caller is Don from Farmington, New York. Welcome, Don. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. Hey, I'm the newest registrant on your website, so you already mentioned my name, so thanks.
Here we go. Our pleasure. Very nice.
My question is Mac-oriented. I have a...
Thanks for calling.
And get off
no,
the board.
No, really, thank you for calling. We have so few Mac problems that the one that shows up...
This isn't really a problem, but I've got an early iMac. I believe it's a revision B, 233 megahertz, and it runs great, and I love it and everything. But I have a SnapScan 1212U scanner, and that works great, too, no problems. However, I just received a Hewlett-Packard PhotoSmart S20 scanner and for slides and transparencies and stuff, and I went to the HP website, and unfortunately, they don't have drivers for that in Mac a Mac application. So I called HP and talked to everybody on their their website. It just seemed like this revolving merry-go-round of phone messages. But so they said, well, you know, it's not supported. We've got nothing. But try to go to ViewScan and see if they have anything there. So I went there, and of course, this was like the one scanner that was not supported in any way. So do you folks know where I might find a driver that might work in an aftermarket situation, or could I somehow set up my the acquire software from my SnapScan to work with this other scanner?
Usually not. The drivers have to be pretty specific
uh-huh.
for that specific hardware.
Uh-huh.
And I would have recommended ViewScan. That's pretty much the generic model for unsupported scanners.
Uh-huh.
Are you running an OS 9 or OS 10?
I'm running 9.2.2.
Because sometimes a scanner won't have a 10 driver, but it will have a 9 driver, so you can reboot back in the 9 if you need to.
Yeah. This the thing is, the computer actually recognizes it on startup, and it says, you know, would you like to search for software? And when you hit it, it just spins for a few seconds and says, you know, nothing was found.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the computer does recognize that it's there, but, you know, it's not really doing me any good.
Right. It sees there's a USB device, and
right.
it wants a driver, and until you find one, it won't be able to work right.
Right.
It's possible, I don't know how likely it is, it's possible that some other vendor might use a similar scanning engine,
uh-huh.
Canon or Epson or, you know, Mustek or one of the other ones,
uh-huh.
and their driver may work, but there's really no way to know without trying to download a bunch of different ones and see
okay.
what happens.
All righty. Any other places besides ViewScan that might have something?
Not really. Sometimes it's just a Twain plug-in.
Uh-huh.
But you need that Twain driver to tell it where the scanner is and how to talk to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it looks like I'm out of luck then. But, okay, well, it looks like Mom and Dad are getting a new scanner for their PC, so... Right.
Yeah, that actually works real well with the PC.
A friend, I got it from a friend, and she said it just worked marvelously. She had real good luck with it. So I thought, hey, well, I'm going to give it a shot. If that comes to worse, you know, I'll stick it on my parents' computer and go over and visit them. So
there you go.
So it looks like that's the way it's going to go.
Sorry.
All right, thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe. Oh, that would be Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Has another amazing mega deal for you. It's our incredible Pepsi $1.99 12-pack blowout. Come into Hess now and get a Pepsi 12-pack for only $1.99.
Get ready, get pumped up, stop at the green. Check this out. Right now at Hess, not only can you get a Pepsi 12-pack for only $1.99, you can get as many as you want, no limit. For real value, you know Hess is always the real deal.
Get ready. Here comes the stop at the screen.
The Hess Pepsi 12-pack blowout. A Pepsi 12-pack only $1.99. You don't see a price like that every day. Hess, more great meals, more great deals, more of everything you're looking for. Through June 30th at participating Hess locations.
Here comes the
only at Hess.
Hi, Chet Walker for Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio. And while I've been babbling on about my new digital camera, I know a lot of you folks out there are still in love with your 35mm. So listen.
Rowe Solution.
Take that roll of film you shot on vacation or the kid's birthday party or your daughter's wedding to the professional photo finishers at Rowe. Rowe has the experts to handle that precious film with the care it deserves, so you'll get absolutely the best prints possible. And along with the best prints possible, those friendly, trained experts behind the counter will be honored if you ask their advice about even better pictures. It might be as simple as a different film speed or a fill-in flash, whatever. Bottom line, Rowe will be there to make your investment in precious family history truly notable.
For photo, video, audio, you'll find it all in a Rowe. You'll find it all.
Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio, 1737 Mount Hope Avenue and Rowe on the Ridge, Buckman's Plaza, Greece.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Greenshield Computer Services. Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back to Soundbites, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is the longest-running computer show in the known universe.
Coming
up on 15 years. I was six when we started doing this. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. Steve wasn't even born when we started doing this show.
I'm getting my feet up.
Yeah, I know, because it's getting thicker and deeper here. Are you wearing sandals? No, you can't.
No, I'm not. I got my boots on.
Yeah, you better have them on, too. We're gonna go back to the phones, and we are going to speak to Jerry all the way from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jerry. What's your question?
How you doing, guys?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. First off, let me say how much I enjoy your show.
I work every
Saturday, and it's become a part of my work day, so it's a great thing.
Cool. Thank you. We love to hear that.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Anyhow, I got a slight problem. This week, my monitor stopped showing the color red. Would it be a place to look at the monitor or a video card?
Or the cable between them.
Yeah.
Really?
The red pin could be broken.
Do you have another monitor that you can possibly try or borrow?
I haven't done that yet because I wanted to figure out, give you guys a call first.
The place to start.
The quickest
to tell if it's going to be the monitor.
It's just swap out monitors.
Well, quicker than that is unplug the cable at both ends and see if there's a pin broken.
Okay.
You can unplug it at both ends.
Right. Sometimes there's supposed to be pins missing. That's one of the problems.
Right. That's a problem. So the first thing to do is try a different monitor.
The computer hasn't been moved or unplugged, so...
And that, it still could be bad or broken.
Yeah.
You know,
or part of the tube, the red could be going in.
The red gun could be gone in the monitor itself.
Right, right.
Time for
a flat panel.
Yeah, a brand new flat panel.
Nice LCD monitor.
It wouldn't be a bad thing.
Get them for under $300.
They're ridiculous. For a 15-inch.
They're
cheap now.
Yes, yeah. I can remember when they were over $1,000.
And you know why?
Yeah.
Laptops.
Nope. Yep.
The same screen and
they're
the
making
laptop,
the same screen, and they make them now by the millions, and so they're cheap.
Yep.
Well, thanks an awful lot, guys.
You're welcome. Tell your boss we said you need a flat panel monitor.
I'm sure that'll help out.
An LCD monitor. Tell him, don't give him our names because we don't want him to have to come and like try to get the money from us. But you definitely, it probably is the red gun in the monitor. Try the monitor on another machine or another monitor on your machine, whichever is easier for you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. I hate to have to tell somebody that. Monitors
do every day.
You can get monitors fixed, but it's actually much less expensive just by
yeah, yours. Most of the time it's not cost effective, especially even on 17-inch 17-inch monitors. You can get those for under $150.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
Well, the other major difference between them is the really cheap ones are analog. If you go with a digital monitor, and of course you need the digital video card in your computer, the digital monitors are much brighter, much sharper, much clearer, mm-hmm. Faster response times, and more expensive.
Yeah, much more expensive. Sometimes you have a monitor that comes with both.
Yep.
So you can plug it into the analog until you buy a digital card. Okay, back to the phones. We're talking to probably one of my relatives, Vito from Chilai. Welcome, Vito.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I got I have two questions, but the quick one is, has Nick's Dave in your head, Steve's head, always been bobbing on your webpage? In other words, when I went in there and looked at it, I thought...
Not always. I need to change that. It's been there for a long time. We have people who have taken our original logo and done things to it, and I put up the bobbing head logo a while ago, and now it's time to change it again.
I like the alien face hugger the other day.
The alien face hugger. You'll see all of those on our logo. There's a link to the logo saga. And
I thought it had something to do with my changing the graphics card because I've never seen it before.
No.
Oh, it's been there for a while. It's been there for a long time, unfortunately.
But you can check out all the logos, and also I'd recommend check out, for a good laugh, the movie posters.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, it's definitely bobbing. You haven't, you're not, well, that's not an indication that you're crazy. I can't go any farther than that.
Okay, the true question is about Stinger. When I go to save a report to file, it's pretty easy to do. You go to a file and then save report to file. But when I look at the report, there's really nothing in there except that it ran. And then they talk about some switches that they have, but I can't for the life of me figure out how to use the switches. Like one of the switches is /log, L-O-G.
Yeah.
But where do you put those in?
Well, you'd have to run it from the command line.
Yeah.
You'd have to say Stinger, space, and whatever those things are.
Why didn't I know that? You guys are so smart, I swear.
Now we've forgotten the command line over the years.
Yeah, you just don't go there anymore. Not like the old days with Windows 3.1 where, you'd start at a DOS prompt.
And now the Mac has a command line for the first time.
Right.
By the time they caught up.
Right. For those of us still running Linux or the Mac OS X, we've come back to the command line. And Windows people have gone away from it. But, yeah, you'd have to run it from the command line to get those parameters to work.
And you still get the result back in the Windows format, though.
Well, it goes to that file, and the file is exactly identical to the any other file it would save.
Okay, thanks very much.
Sure, absolutely. And you would be able to open that file with any Windows program. We're going to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enroy, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Howdy, folks. I'm here at the track with a reminder to enter the Choice Hotels Fast Cash Sweepstakes from McConnell Lodge Roadway Inn and Lowe's Home Improvement Warehouse. Enter at choicehotels.com and you can win the $50,000 grand prize. And just for entering, you'll save 10% off your next stay at McConnell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels. So race to choicehotels.com today.
No purchase necessary. Legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Sweepstakes ends July 31st, 2003. For rules and complete details, visit choicehotels.com.
You didn't get to choose your gender, your height, predetermined. The planet you live on, well, you didn't exactly have a say in the matter. But at Red Lobster's Mix It Up Shrimp event, you do get a choice. Choose our tangy, mouthwatering new sweet and sour shrimp, our savory new garlic grilled shrimp, or one of our traditional favorites. Choose any two of our five delicious varieties for just $10.99, which includes a salad and our famous Cheddar Bay biscuits. It's just a thing for men or women of varying heights living on planet Earth. Mix It Up Shrimp for a limited time at Red Lobster. Prices higher in Hawaii.
In Kmart stores everywhere, managers and associates prepare for the great summer vacation sale.
The word is getting out, gang.
It's a great summer vacation sale.
Kmart shoppers are saving throughout the entire store.
They're getting the chance to win great prizes.
What should our shoppers expect from us?
There's always a surprise in store.
How are we proving it?
The great summer vacation sale.
Right now, the great summer vacation sale is going on at Kmart. You'll find incredible savings throughout the entire store. This is a Kmart sale you don't want to miss.
Sweepstakes ends July 5th. No purchase necessary. See store for rules. Void where prohibited. Must be U.S. resident 18 or older.
Hey, Liz, we're going to Red Lobster. Want to come?
Thanks, but I have dinner plans.
Actually, we're going for lunch.
Hey, good idea.
Come to Red Lobster and try one of our delicious lunches, like our grilled salmon salad, irresistible lobster pizza, or Sam Adams beer-battered fish and chips.
So, Liz, what do you say we grab a movie?
Thanks, but I got to get back to the office.
Actually, I was thinking Saturday night.
Hey, good idea. Treat yourself to one of Red Lobster's lunches. Better yet, treat a friend.
Hello there, Jack from the J-Team at Jiffy Lube. Yes, it's summertime, the best time of the year, right? Well, not for your engine. Rising temps, oppressive heat, it all adds up to a lot of engines losing their cool. Summerproof your car at Jiffy Lube and take advantage of our summer savings event. Whether it's Pennzoil synthetic, high mileage, or conventional, we have the Pennzoil motor oil that's right for you. Don't get burned this summer. Visit Jiffy Lube today, and we'll make sure your car runs perfectly all summer long. The J-Team Summer Savings at participating locations. Jiffy Lube, the well-oiled machine.
Would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
We're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
I'm Bob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. See, I realize that my voice is not quite James Earl Jones, but I would love to be able to say, and this is Sound Bites.
It's like my friend Harry Lake.
This
the
is
voice,
CNN.
Tubes he's got, the pipes he's got on him.
Yep.
Jeez Louise.
Yep. God bless him.
Such a deep voice.
Our next caller, Joe from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Good. Is your TV show ever coming back?
That's a lovely question, and one that I would like an answer to myself.
Oh.
But we haven't been told otherwise.
Okay,
yeah, we don't know.
The last thread was that as soon as they build another studio, they'll be able to broadcast more than one show.
Oh.
Yeah, but we don't know.
I mean,
that's completely unofficial.
It came down from corporate.
Oh boy,
more or less.
It had nothing to do with the local people.
The big guys. Okay.
Yeah.
My question is, Windows XP home. My niece had installed downloaded a game and installed it, and all of a sudden the computer started running slower. We uninstalled the game, and now she's blocked from the internet. I have Norton Internet Security on there. I thought the first thing maybe, and it's all update. I update it every day. I thought maybe the firewall was stopping it, so I uninstalled it. In fact, I went to the Norton website and got the special utility to uninstall it, and I'm still blocked out. I ran an updated AdAware, and it didn't find anything. And I also ran Stinger, but it was the original version.
Are you running any actual antivirus software?
Norton Internet Security and antivirus.
Right. Oh, and it's the antivirus also.
You know what I might suggest? Is it might be time to do a repair on XP.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
System file checker and see if, in fact, unfortunately, a lot of games, particularly earlier games, were notorious for replacing system files.
I figured that.
And if, in fact, this game replaced XP system file with a system file that originally was written for, say, 98,
right,
you're going to have all kinds of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, what is the command for a system file checker? I couldn't find it.
You got to do that out of the DOS prompt.
Once again, we're going back to that command line.
Yeah, you got to go.
I did SFC from the command prompt, but it didn't bring anything up.
What you've got to do, the easiest way to do is just go to start, run, and type in command or CMD. Hit enter. It opens up a DOS window. And from there, you could, if you don't know the switches and everything else, and this is for any command, literally, you can type SFC space /?. Hit enter. That will tell you all the switches and that way of checking multiple drives and whatever, depending on the command that you're trying to do. And it'll tell you the items that you have to type in that line to do a system file check.
So associated with the SFC, there is another switch I have to...
Yeah,
what you need to do is you type SFC for System File Checker.
Yeah, I did
space
that. Okay.
The /.
Right.
Scan now. That's all one word. SCANNOW.
Okay.
Scan now, but it's all one word.
Okay.
That will scan the system for you.
Okay.
But again, it's all in a DOS prompt, and if you ever forget those commands, the easiest way, like I say, is just to put in the SFC or whether it was FDISC or any command, space /?, and it'll always tell you the various switches, like this /, scan now, it'll list all the others, scan once, whatever you want to do.
Right.
It'll tell you what you can do with this particular utility or file that you're trying to run.
And of course, that /is the divide by key.
Right.
Underneath
the
question mark.
Okay. I did reinstall Windows, and when I did that, I lost my restore point when I did that.
Right.
And it didn't really fix the problem. But also, now because I reinstalled Windows, I pulled the NIC card out to see if that was causing the problem, put it back in. Now I have to reactivate Windows again.
Right.
I love that.
Well, we all do.
I'll be troubleshooting this. I'll be calling them every day, I think.
And the big concern is how many reactivations will they allow you on a single machine before they think you're a thief and not right. reactivate it?
Yep.
Right.
I've decided I'm not upgrading my XP machine anymore. The next machine I buy is going to be for my Linux box.
Well, it's annoying because it's setting a dangerous precedent. The new Quark version 6 uses internet activation to activate each copy that you want to run.
Mm-hmm.
So and it won't run without it.
Right.
Does Mac have that issue?
Not in the OS itself, but programs are starting to do it, including Quark Express 6 for both Mac and Windows.
Well, it's not like you can go out and buy the OS just off any shell.
Well,
upgrade.
Right, you can
but
buy.
You can't buy the full-blown version.
Right, but the point is, if at some point Apple's going to wake up to the fact that he could buy OS 10.6 or whatever the newest one is, and then give it to 30 friends, and so they're going to start the same thing.
They actually have done a family pack, they call it. The standard price of OS 10 is $129, which actually is cheaper than the $199 of Windows XP.
Right.
They have a family pack for $199. You get 5 licenses. There's still no internet serial number checking. You know, it's all based on...
You get 5 legal
copies for home users. So they're addressing it as a... I forget what the words Jobs used. It's a learning issue. You have to teach people what's right instead of forcing them to do what you think is right.
Well, right. And more importantly, I think that what you come down to is Mac people are fanatics about their system, and they love their Macs, and they love everything about Apple. So I would hope that would translate to doing things legally in hopes that the company stays around, as opposed to, on the one hand, saying, I love my Mac, you'll have to pry it from my cold, dead fingers, and, oh, by the way, I stole the operating system.
Right. And it actually, one of the case in point is there's a local company in town, Ambrosia Software. They make really, really cool games.
Yes, they do.
That could sell for $50, $60 at a store, but they're all shareware, $20, $25 for shareware.
Mm-hmm.
He runs a company, has 7 employees. They rent office space downtown, all on shareware. And it's the testament that it does work on the Mac.
It does, because people have it. There's a different attitude toward the Mac than there is PCs. People say, whatever I can get, Bill Gates is a billionaire,
well,
I can take anything I want.
There's another neat site I just discovered. I think it's called freesoftware.com.
Freesoftware.com.
And you can go there and literally get a number of different titles, and all you have to do is pay the shipping and handling.
Yep. And of course, as we all know, under Linux, there's an amazing amount of free stuff that's available. There's also, there used to be a site, I don't know if it's still up, I'll take a look now, called freedos.com. And that, there it is, the FreeDOS website apparently is, it's a freedos.org, right? It's a DOS-compatible open-source operating system with lots of stuff for it. There's the GNU tools for Windows are all free. So there's all kinds of free stuff out there. So there's, you can find things that you don't have to steal. For those of you who've been stealing Office all these years, you can try OpenOffice and get all the same features legally for free. Okay, are you having fun? We're having pager races now.
My daughter's trying to call me and I'm ignoring her.
You know what pager races are? You take a slightly tilted board, you put a couple of pagers on them, call them, see which one vibrates its way down the board faster. We have those. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco, and possibly something to do with computers on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
You're out there, and you know who you are. Oh, you think you can hide, but you can't hide forever. One of these days, you'll break down and
Then you'll see.
It's not so bad. Then, like the rest of us, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it.
If you don't own a home computer, I'm talking to you.
And I'm talking to you about the fantastic home computer package from Green Shield Computers.
For only $499, they'll build you the perfect starter system, fully loaded with all you need for email, web surfing, home finances, digital pictures, music, movies, and more. It's powered by an AMD Athlon processor and is easily upgradable. Plus, you get Green Shield local service and support. With Green Shield, there's no excuse. Don't miss out on the fun, the convenience, the connections a home computer can provide. Give Green Shield a call and get started with your home computer. For you, for your kids, for your life. Green Shield Computers, since 1984. Call 544-9580.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
There's a one-of-a-kind store at Jefferson Road and J. Scuddy Boulevard in Henrietta. It's Gander Mountain. And if you're a fisherman, hunter, or camper, you'll see our grand opening event this weekend as an opportunity. It's your chance to stand and take in more hunting, fishing, and camping gear than you've ever seen and think, wonder how much my truck can hold. It's meeting guys that include Matt Moret from Hunter Specialties, Bill Jordan from Real Tree Outdoors, and Chris Kirby from Quaker Boy. It's getting a chance to win gear in a $1,000 shopping spree drawing. There's no purchase necessary, and you should see store for details. You can test your skill in the archery lanes or do a roll in the kayak testing pond. Attend seminars on everything from deer hunting to hunting calls. Sure, Gander has excellent gear and unmatched brands at guaranteed low prices. More important, you now have a connection with folks who love this stuff as much as you do. The grand opening event is this weekend at 300 J. Scuddy Boulevard in Henrietta, Gander Mountain. We live outdoors.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
To America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back from the drum break. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And now that the drummer is getting a little tired, we'll actually do some show. What are we doing? We're taking phone calls. What a clever and interesting idea. We're going to talk to Bill from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Who came in?
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh,
hello.
Us. I didn't understand.
You said gentlemen. We didn't know
there.
Who you were referring to.
Lately on my computer at home, I'm having problems looking at Window Media's files. The video just jumps scene to scene, and the audio, if it's just an audio one, it's very jumpy and distorted. I used to be able to see them okay. I've got Windows Media Player version 9 in. I've done a SFC. I actually put it in safe mode and opened it up in safe mode under 16 colors, and then it seemed to play okay, but, you know, the colors weren't really there.
What? How much memory is on the video card?
It's a 16 meg Voodoo 3 card.
All right, and you've updated the drivers for it?
I've tried to, but it's been hard to find. Do you think it's all in the video card? Because everything else
definitely.
Plays okay.
It could be that. What else are you running in the background?
Well, I was running a lot of things, but I did the Control-Alt-Delete and got rid of a lot of them. So right now I just want Explorer, SysTray, RealMod, which is my easy...
What OS and how much memory?
Pardon me?
What OS and how much memory?
Operating system 98, second edition, 128 meg.
That's good, yep.
They used to play the Windows Media files fine, but lately, now I know they've had...
I might suggest you turn off RealMonitor.
Okay.
That's one of the many things that RealPlayer mm-hmm. sticks on your machine and you simply can't get rid of anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever else is still running in the background just as a test, and of course you're running an updated antivirus program.
Mm-hmm.
Are these videos streamed from the net or downloaded to the hard drive?
It doesn't matter. I've had some that are on a CD that I've downloaded to a hard drive and put on a CD and put them in. You know, they're little commercials, little funny things.
Sure.
And they used to play fine. Now
I was thinking disk fragmentation.
Yeah. What about your color resolution? What are you running, 32-bit, 16-bit?
I believe 32-bit.
Try kicking it down to 16-bit. Mm-hmm. Only from the standpoint, you might have loaded some other software file, mm-hmm. and another DLL, which stands for Dynamic Link Library, mm-hmm. could have gotten changed. You know, adding and subtracting various programs, they like to always update this unique library or that library. The things that were running fine before have now changed. Even though you haven't changed the hardware, one of the files in the DLL have gotten changed, and it's working, but not as smooth
right.
as it used to.
I know. And, okay, I can try
that. And then look for definitely updates for your video card.
Yeah, I've found something, but it was in a zip file, and it didn't seem to open up right.
Right, because if it doesn't, you've got to... Do you have WinZip on your machine?
Mm-hmm.
You might want to just do a search on Google for, say, that particular file or video card. You might find other websites that have it, like DriverZone.
Mm-hmm.
DriverZone.com is a great place to look up for video drivers, camera drivers. It's a fantastic site.
One other quick question. Bill, when you were running Media Player, when it ran well,
mm-hmm.
was it under Media Player 9 or was it under 8?
I believe it was under 8 or maybe a version 7.
Here's what I'm thinking. There are two versions of Windows Media Player 9.
Mm-hmm.
One is for XP.
Mm-hmm.
The other is for everything else, including 98.
Oh, okay.
If you installed the one for XP, you're definitely going to have problems.
Okay.
So let me suggest you uninstall it,
mm-hmm.
go back up to Microsoft's website and
mm-hmm.
go to Microsoft.com/Windows/Windows Media
mm-hmm.
and go to the download page and make sure you download the version 498SE,
okay,
which is also for N2000.
What?
I didn't say ME. I didn't say it out loud.
Is there any way I can check if that video card is working okay through the computer, some diagnostic on it?
Almost every high-end video card comes with some sort of demo program.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have that on the original CD that came with the thing. But if you've downloaded the incorrect version of Media Player, trust me when I tell you, that's not going to work.
Okay. I'll try that then. Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much. Our next caller.
We're going to shuffle off to
Buffalo and talk to Joe. Joe, how are you this week?
I'm okay.
That's what I like to hear.
Gee, you must be really popular. You actually have a card in somebody's computer, Nick, because a couple callers ago, they said they had a Nick card.
They have the Nick card. Not everybody gets the Nick card. What it does is it makes your machine just a little manic and a little crazy.
Okay, well...
it may not be a good thing.
In the user helping user department?
Oh, yeah.
I had a guy a couple weeks ago that was having trouble writing CDRs, and he was having trouble with them reading in certain drives.
Right.
If you can still find them anymore, I would suggest try the lower density CDRs, the 74-minute 650 megabyte, because with the 800 megabyte ones, they try and pack more in the same space, and so that might... cause the drive to have a little trouble reading what's on there.
You know, you're absolutely right. If you've got an older drive that only understands the old 640s and you put in a 700, you're absolutely right, Joe.
Especially other machines, even if you're running a 32X regular CD-ROM drive, it might still have problems reading the newer, faster disk.
Okay, and now for my question.
All right, to ask one. Go ahead.
In OpenOffice.org, I'm trying to import comma-separated or tab-separated file, and I go through the dialog, and it sees all the data in my file, and I click OK, Insert, and all that, and when I get to the last dialog box where I actually do the import, the OK is grayed out. Any ideas on something I might have set wrong?
Are you trying to import this into their calc program?
Yes.
In the preceding one, did you break up the comma-separated variables? You get that choice at the bottom of the screen.
The column type is standard or text or date or whatever. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I highlight each one of the columns, and I didn't touch anything, actually. I just, imported as standard. That should work for everything, I would think.
It should. When you
I even tried, you know, taking a really simple sheet and saving it out as a comma-separated value file and try and import it back into a new sheet. It goes to the same place where OK is grayed out. And my other two choices are cancel and help.
That's
uh-oh, it sounds like I've stumped you guys.
Yeah, you may have. That's really interesting. I have OpenOffice.org, but...
Have you ever been able to import a text file like that?
Well, that's one of the many things I've never tried. and for those of you who have not ever seen OpenOffice.org, what it is a clone. It's a replacement for Microsoft Office. It has a word processor and a spreadsheet and a presentation program. And it's
a sort of web browser.
A sort of kind of web browser, but you don't really need that.
No.
And it's a pretty neat deal.
And the Golden Master for Mac OS X just was released last week.
So. For OpenOffice.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, and you can do it pretty much anyway. Are you saying insert external data?
Yes.
Boy howdy. That should work.
Oh, yes, and an update on something you helped me with before. I was having problems in Mozilla and getting the Java programs to click my buttons. I simply upgraded the Java runtime environment, and now the buttons click just fine.
Yep. Oh, good. Here's the deal. When you go to do that insert, right?
Yeah.
You pick the file.
Yes, I did.
Whatever you called it. And you get a thing across the bottom that lets you say tabs or commas. And then in the bottom you see the various
columns.
Right?
Certainly.
And you do see that it is broken up into various columns.
Yes, I do.
Have you tried clicking the OK button anyway, even though it's gray?
Yep, nothing happened.
Because sometimes they just forget to turn it black.
Well, maybe
okay,
this is
let's
a feature
see.
That
let's
they've got to work at.
That's text. Fine. Go OK. Still grayed out.
Yeah.
Nope, just beeps at me, actually.
Yeah, because you can't. Well, if it's grayed out, you're not going to be able to get there.
You might want to just try emailing them and see if they've run into this or if they've got a workaround for it.
Yeah, okay.
Have you tried changing them to all text?
Yep. No such luck, unfortunately. It's a wonderful program. It's just a little deficient in some places.
Well, yeah, it's a new... you know what? Have you tried changing the text delimiter?
Yes. I've actually was going to do an import from JPilot, and I tried both commas and tabs, and nothing. Unfortunately, it's like they didn't implement that part of the program or something.
You're right. I'm not seeing
it. Like I say, you might want to email them and see if they've got a workaround or if it's a known issue yet.
Okay, I just wondered if you came across anything that would...
he's getting the same thing here.
I am getting the same thing, but I may be going... The other thing is I may be going to the wrong place. I'm wondering if
What about the file name itself, .txt, .csv?
It happens to be CSV.
Which should be right.
Well, yeah. Try changing it to .txt, see what happens.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wait a minute. I did that with my JPilot export, and no luck.
Well, I'm going to look into this. I'm going to keep working on this, Joe.
Okay.
And we'll let you know what happens if and when we find it.
Well, thanks very much for trying, anyway.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Well, I'm really sorry. I wish I had a better answer for you, but we'll keep trying on it. Back to I hate it when I can't answer a question. We're back to the phones, and we're going to go to Manchester, New York, and talk to Jim. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Excuse me.
Sure.
You guys, one guy had spyware on his program.
Yeah.
And all that. What he needs is a registry cleaner, like RegVac.
That could be too. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was watching TV one time. And I accidentally clicked on something for a phone dialer. And I used Adaware. Norton didn't work. It still wants to dial out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Lucky for me, I have an external when I turn my phone, my modem off. But I had to do it manually. I had to go into temporary internet files, delete all those.
Yep.
Temporary files, delete those. Go into the download programs. I found one had a whole bunch of numbers on it. I deleted that one. Then I ran RegVac, and I had 6 entries on the registry.
Yeah. There's a number of them. If you go to PCWorld.com, they've got a lot of great tools there that you can use for, you know, maintenance and that type of stuff on
your
system.
RegVac works great because I crashed. My computer crashed. I had F-Disket. I got Windows 2000. I got Service Pack 3 from Microsoft, Internet Explorer 6.1 from Microsoft. I got all my updates on CD, Copernic Agent, Hot Knot, Zone Alarm, Stinger, AdAware, all those on CD.
Mm-hmm.
I put everything on the computer before you went online. I ran RegVac, 210 entries.
Yeah.
Because what Norton does and Windows does, it says it's they're making temporary files. Then it says it's registering components, installing them, and then removes the files. But doesn't do nothing about the registry entries.
Yeah. Right. That's the way it is with most uninstallers. Even if you were to, say, go into the Windows control panel, add remove programs, and say I remove McAfee or any of these others, you can go into the registry, do a search on McAfee, and I guarantee you, you'll get carpal tunnel trying to delete each entry.
Yeah, well, that's what I like RegVac about. Because I leave it in novice mode, and it does it all by itself, and I don't have to mess with anything.
There you go.
But if they don't have RegVac...
Great tip, though.
Because a lot of these spyware ones, phone dialers and other stuff, they may have the registry entries, which will keep trying to dial out or screw them up.
Yep.
All right, thanks. I'm afraid we're done for another week. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to congratulate Bruce on getting the trivia question right. We'll be back next Saturday at 12:20 p.m. In the meantime, there's all the forums, all the fun of Sound Bites online just for you at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you. See you next week. For Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, I'm Nick Francesco. This is Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.